from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12, verse 13 and following. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. On Christmas Day 2002, Jack Whitaker made an investment for a lifetime. He went to his local convenience store and he bought one of those record-breaking lotto tickets. In his small community of Hurricane, West Virginia, Whitaker had been successful in a construction business that grossed around $100 million annually. But Whitaker took a chance once more to expand his revenue, his ability to serve those around him. And lightning struck. Whitaker became the only winner of the $300 million Powerball. He took the cash payout, sadly just over $100 million after taxes. And Whitaker said, "I really don't think much will change. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep serving community. I'm going to tithe this gift and I'm going to give to make the lives of those around me a little better." Within just 2 years' time, Jack Whitaker's life went from triumph to tragedy. His granddaughter, who'd been the apple of his eye and been nurtured with his love and guidance throughout her childhood as her mother suffered from a debilitating disease. She became addicted to drugs. What started out as simple drinking and partying with friends escalated into a spiral of destruction that became bigger than she could overcome. The daughter's life would eventually be lost, the granddaughter rather. Jack Whitaker's marriage fell apart. His business became devastated, and ultimately he defined what happened to his life as the curse of the lottery. We've heard that statement many times. Of those who receive windfalls and have such good intentions, and the power of the wealth becomes more than they can bear. The appetite, the greed for an abundance beyond simple sustainability conquers their life. In our scripture today, our Lord warns us in these words of Luke. Did you notice how it's written here by the gospel writer? That he says, don't simply be conscious that greed can be destructive. But the words our Lord is quoted for saying is, be on your guard. Take care, he says. In other words, greed is not simply something that can seep into our life. Greed seeks to attack. Greed can conquer us as a villain, breaking into our home. Wherever you would position a guard physically in your life, our Lord says, guard your own heart, your own mind, your own life's work with that same passion against greed. That's how destructive this sin can be to us and to those that we love. Our scripture here in verse 15, our Lord says much in this one sentence, this one verse, where he also transitions from saying, take care to be on guard. He says against all kinds of greed. Now, I had to look up the word greed again. It helps us to once again revisit words that are quite familiar to us. On the surface, I traditionally think about greed dealing with our wealth. But Webster's defines greed in this way. It says that greed is an intense, selfish desire for money, power, food, and other substances. You see, it's not just limited to an abundance or an appetite, an unproportional appetite for wealth, but it can also be power, food, substances. And our Lord clarifies that point in our text when he says, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A disproportion, an appetite beyond what we need for our fullness in life. And it is certainly rooted in our selfishness, even as our scripture indicates today. You know, we live in a climate today as we approach the elections coming up next week. And as we seek God's guidance, as we personally go to the polls, may we pray for wisdom, truth, and guidance. And even as we consider local offices and national offices, our prayer should be that those who are in power will guard their hearts to truly serve. To serve those around them and not be consumed or intoxicated with an overabundance and an ego for self-serving power. Be on our guard as a nation. Be on our guard as a community. We can be on our guard for those who serve by praying for them daily. It's no accident. It's not coincidence that we pray weekly for our president, for our Senate, for our Congress, the Supreme Court, for our county, our city, our state governing bodies. We ask God to guide these that they will embrace that high calling to not serve self, but to truly serve others. For that's the essence of our faith. Wasn't it our Lord Jesus who said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life for all. You see, friends, our Lord makes it clear that greed can infect us, whether it be an appetite for power, for wealth, for food or substance. It can lead us in a path of our destruction. The very thing that we're seeking to restore us actually can defeat us. I remember the story of a man who came from the continent of Africa to attend seminary at one of our institutions of higher learning here in the States. He'd never been to America. He flew into the international airport in the city where he was attending courses. And he was picked up by an administrator of the seminary. The man's English was quite good. He was observing the countryside as they traveled among the urban setting. And as they started their journey into the suburbs, he started seeing these metal buildings, these metal structures, what we know as storage buildings. He'd never seen anything like those storage buildings before. They were long and they were vast and there were multiple doors upon the buildings. And he asked his tour guide from the seminary, he said, "What are those buildings?" And of course, the explanation came of them being storage buildings. And eventually, he made his way to explaining when people have more stuff than they can store in their home, then they can rent these facilities to put their extra stuff in it. To this, the African theologian asked, if they have more than they need, then why don't they simply give it to someone else? He couldn't make the connection of the abundance. You see, our scripture, listen with me, as our Lord says in verse 15 of our text, he says, "Be on your guard against all kind of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Now hear me, church. Hear me now. As Paul said in his letter to Timothy, that famous passage of Scripture that many of us know by heart, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. When I hear that passage, I don't believe that money is the root of all kinds of evil. I hear it in its entirety of what Paul said. It's the love, it's the disproportionate affection of wealth that is the root of evil. And our Lord here says, it's not possessions. It's not the accumulation of wealth or things. That is greed. But it's an overabundance, our Lord says. When we count that as our hope, the thing that will sustain us, that will give us joy and happiness, we are on a path to misery and peril. That's what I found in my life. Perhaps you have in yours. There are things that we oftentimes in our brokenness, in our shortcomings, reach out for fullness and they simply leave us empty. There's only one thing that we can fit into our life that gives us joy. And that's the joy we find in our God, walking in the ways of our Lord, serving the world around us to His glory and through His love. That's where we find joy. That's where we understand Scripture that says it's more blessed to give, to live outside of self than to accumulate and serve only self. Friends, that's not preacher talk. That's a person who's lived it. That's Paul preaching it. That's we as Christians following in the ways of our Lord to say that true joy is not in serving self, but in serving the world to our Lord's glory. There is joy there beyond happiness. NBA basketball coach Pat Riley, who won the national championship as a player for the University of Kentucky, who achieved greatness on the court, coaching multiple teams to success, speaks of something that he calls the disease of more that plagues professional basketball. Riley says it this way. He says, teams sometimes achieve greatness for 1 year, in 1 year only because they're unified. They have a team spirit. They're committed to the common good. They live beyond themselves and for the greater good of the team. And he said, but oftentimes, once they taste a little success, their priorities become broken. They start seeking to serve me and more instead of others and the team. Riley speaks of how that attitude deteriorates the pursuit of success on team. Noah and I talk about this quite often, how important chemistry is on a college baseball team. How important it is in our working world as Kenny strives to put together a team building a job. As Norris seeks to have a team in his dentistry practice that serves the community. The unity of working together for the greater good of the whole and for those around us. It applies in basketball. It applies in construction. It applies in dentistry. And yes, dear friends, it is central to our faith. In this parable, listen to these words of Jesus. I'm not going to read them all, but in verses 17 through 19, when Jesus reflects on the brokenness of the intoxication of the man in his greed, in those words, it seems like some 10 times he says the word of either me, my, or I. He reflects completely and intentionally upon himself instead of the other. And it's at that the Lord says, you're a fool. You're seeking to serve yourself and you're actually taking joy away from yourself. I titled our sermon today, Treasures in Heaven. Friend, we as Christian people know that there is a treasure for us. A joy, a fullness of life beyond what we will ever attain in this broken existence. But you know, I'm just silly enough to believe as a Christian. I'm just hard-headed enough to believe that if we walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, we will taste a little bit of heaven even now in our broken world. May we, as people of Christ, know the true joy of living outside of ourselves, serving the world around us through our prayers, through our love, through our support, and know the joy of heaven even now. Amen.